someone comes into contact, into the presence of the preaching of the gospel, there's three reactions that they have to the gospel. It's right here in our text. There's three ways that they take this. Two of them are very dangerous. Two of them, the Lord says, you are wicked servants. And then there's faithful servants. Let's read it here in verse 11. It says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." What had they heard? What are these things that they had heard? We just looked at that Wednesday night, didn't we? When the Lord saved Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a big reputation. He was a big sinner. It says there in verse 10 of Luke 19, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's what Zacchaeus was, a lost man, a sinner, a feared man. And we saw that there was grace before grace, that prevenient grace the Lord had put in him to have an interest to see who Christ was. Lord had established a tree there, a sycamore tree, protected that tree, grew that tree, gave life to that tree so Zacchaeus could climb it. And we saw that grace was specific. He called him by name. "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down." And it was effectual. Effectual. Got the job done. Zacchaeus came down. And it was life-changing. This stingy, horrible, mean man that fleeced the public and stole everything he could, he said, "I give half my goods and I'm going to restore fourfold anybody I took something from." Right then, the Lord changed him because he gave him a new heart. That's what happened. He's the one that did it. That's why he came. That's why he came to this earth. He says in Luke 5, "I came not to call righteous. I didn't come to find a bunch of squeaky clean religious folks. I came to call sinners to repentance. Harlots, publicans, commercial fishermen with tattoos all over them and calluses and smell like fish. Physicians, legalists, horrible people, doesn't it? Not the squeaky clean ones, not the one who look good on the outside. Sinners that know it. He makes us know it. In chapter 18, that blind man called out for mercy, and Jesus, God Almighty in human flesh, stood still. "Have mercy on me, thou son of David." And he stopped. And he had mercy on him. He showed him mercy, didn't he? He was on his way to Jerusalem to make that sacrifice of himself. To go hang on a cross, die for his people. And he always had time to seek and to save those who were given to him. He always had time for them. And everyone that cried out for mercy, always, every time, received mercy. What a God we have. And he was a friend of publicans and sinners. I'm going to have you turn to like two scriptures today, so I'll read these for you for time's sake. In Luke 15:1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." They came to hear him. "And all the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eats with them." They just not just allowed in his presence. He sits down and says, "What do you want to eat?" He eats with them. Boy, that's good news to a sinner. That's good news to a publican, a crook. We say with Paul, "It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." What was Zacchaeus? He was the chief of publicans. And those that he's been gracious to say, "I'm the chief of sinners. Ain't nobody worse than me." I know that. I know you know that. I read Paul saying that. "Paul, I know you really think that deep inside your heart, but I'm worse than you are." That's what his children see. They did this on purpose. He gave us this parable there in verse 11. It says, "And they, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable." He added something to what they just saw happen in Zacchaeus. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem. He was nigh to the center of religion. And because they thought. Here's the other reason they gave this parable. They thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. His disciples and those around thought that Christ was going to Jerusalem to root out all the errors, to get rid of all the heresy, to push out that government, to push out that religion, and he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. That restored David's throne, have Solomon's riches, and everybody's going to be just happy and eating the fat of the herd, ain't they? That's what they thought. They thought. they thought. Just like Naaman the leper, when Elisha come to him and said, "You go dip 7 times," or he sent a servant to him. "You go tell him, dip 7 times in the river." Naaman was wroth. And he said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. I thought he will come to me and stand and call on his Lord and put his hand over that spot on my forehead and recover me, recover the leper." That's what I thought. I didn't think he's going to tell me to go dip 7 times in the Jordan. All of our thoughts about spiritual things left to ourselves are completely and always wrong. We don't know what we're talking about. Left to ourselves, man, his carnal nature, sat down with the Bible and ability to read the written word. I heard some comments on the radio yesterday. It was one flat wrong. A 10-year-old could read that text and tell you that ain't what it meant. And spiritually, it was even worse than that. It's horrendous. What we think. Remember we looked at the other day, heresy. The root word of heresy is to an opinion. Well, I think. What's God say? Next time somebody comes up and says, "You know what, Kevin, I think." I'm saying, "Go ahead and tell me. What's your heresy?" Hope I don't give my opinion either. What I think. I wonder what God says about it. Paul told us the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Our Lord told us in Psalm 50, Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. You thought I was just like you. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Oh, I'm thinking, but God. If I was left to myself and my thoughts, I'm undone. I have no hope. But if he reproves his people, if he sets in order in front of them, well, now we got hope. Now we know something. The Lord adds to what was said and done to Zacchaeus by giving us this parable, because he's not a Jerusalem. He says there, verse 12, "And he said, therefore, because of these things, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Jesus Christ is that nobleman. The Lord Jesus Christ is the nobleman. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. That's who he is. Nobleman means well born. He was born of a virgin, wasn't he? High in rank. He's our great high priest. He's our mediator. He's God himself. And it also means generous. Generous. He's more noble than any other. He's more noble than any other. He's noble and he's holy in all of his character, who he is, and all of his actions, what he does. Oh, he's noble. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's who he is. And he's generous in mercy. Scripture says he delights to show mercy. And there's plenty of mercy there, ain't there? Abundance. Our noble Savior came to this earth to purchase his sheep with his own blood. He was born of a virgin. He was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, to accomplish their salvation, to establish righteousness for them, because we have none of our own. And having finished that work, completely finished the work that the Father gave him to do, he rose on high. He went to a far country. And he's coming again. This nobleman's Christ. Why do you have to go up there? Zechariah 13 says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Slay the shepherd. Why you got to slay the shepherd? How's that going to save the sheep? Them sheep ain't going to be saved unless that shepherd's smitten. He must be. It says in Hebrews 1:3, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." This nobleman has went to a far country. He's received his kingdom. He's went to a far country. I have to turn over to John 14. He's in his throne right now in glory in a far country we can't ascend to, we can't get to. And he's going to return. One day he's going to return. He's going to receive his people unto himself. It says here in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, a particular people, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm glad that's His purpose. That's where I want to be. He's prepared a place to be, and I'm going to be where He is. That's good, isn't it? How do we get there? What's the way of doing this? It says on verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, what a loving, caring, patient message, a long-suffering message we have. Christ is the only way, and He's coming again. Just like with Noah, He gave 120 years of Noah preaching righteousness, God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness for His people. It's long-suffering and patient in Him. He's given it to us still. We all pay attention to it. Back in our text there in Luke 19, when this nobleman went to a far country, he gave something. He left something behind with his people. It says in verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. You possess this. You take care of it till I come back. What are these pounds? Some say, well, it's silver. It's gold. Another part of Scripture is Matthew 25, talents, things. The Lord gave us His Word. He told us that in John 17. He said, Father, I've given them Thy Word. He's gave us some other things too. Because in our natural mind, we can't understand that Word, can we? Just like Philip and that Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch read it, and Philip heard him and said, do you know what you're reading? He's reading out loud. He said, how can I? And he's reading the text as most plain as you can be in it. He said, how can I except some man explain it to me? Somebody preaches to me. Tell me what this means. The Lord gave us His Word. That's what that great nobleman left on this earth. We got it right here in front of us. And He gave somebody to explain it to us. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. What does nobleman left his people is what Christ gave as ascension gifts to His people on this earth. Ephesians 4 verse 8. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now verses 9 and 10 is in parentheses. That's speaking of Christ Himself. Declaring that's who He is. We can pull that out. So in verse 8, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You notice that's the only thing together, pastors and teachers. It goes together. I hope I can preach to you this morning, and I hope I can teach you something at the end of it. I hope we can apply this. That's my business. That's what God sent me here to do. Nobody else. But He gave these things for the perfecting. That means the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He gave His Word. He gave evangelists to go around and preach these things. He gave pastors, preachers and teachers, to explain these things to it, to tell us what this means. Preach His Word. He gave us physical eyes to read this Word. Didn't He? He doesn't give spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to everybody, but He gave all men physical eyes. Well, I don't have it. Well, you can learn Braille. He gave physical eyes to read His Word. He gave us physical ears to hear His gospel preached. We may not like what we read. We may not like what we hear, but we can, can't we? He gave us a mind to think. Not robots. The Lord said, come, let us reason together. Didn't He? He gave us nature. He gave us His creation to see His sovereign power in all things. He gave us weather to look at. Birds, hummingbirds. I always get hung up on hummingbirds. Amazing. God gave us that to look at. Know who He is. Declare who He is. He gave us hands and He gave us feet to labor for the furtherance of the gospel. He gave them things. If I can, that's because He gave it. He did not leave us without a witness. He didn't leave this world and you're on your own. Figure it out. It said in Acts 14, nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons filling our hearts with food and gladness. Even the heathen, rain falls on them. They're provided food. We still have cows. They haven't went sterile. Go get you a steak, can't you? He gave the Holy Spirit. That's a gift of Christ. He said, if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. He gave us that. Gave us His Word, creation all around us, preachers to preach to us, eyes to read, ears to hear, all of these things. He gave them. You see that? That's what that nobleman left. That's in pounds. We get that? He gave them. And He's gone to a far country, and He's coming again. He's seated in glory, and He's coming back to this earth. There's three reactions to the gospel of Christ. The Lord, it's merciful to whom He will be merciful. Man's nothing but sin. God's gracious to sinners. And those that He saves. Christ came to seek and to save the lost. He shall save His people. They shall be saved plumb. Plumb saved forever. No matter what. There's three reactions people have to that. It says in verse 14. Here's the ones that hated the nobleman openly. Luke 19:14, back in our text. But his citizens hated him. He's the Lord of all. Every man, woman, and child on this earth, everything that's ever lived, He's the Lord of. You don't make Him Lord, He is Lord. We know that. And everything in this world's in His hand. But it says his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. He's going to get a kingdom in return. He left gifts. No! Isn't that kind? Isn't that gracious and generous? And then gifts that he left, they didn't like that either. They hated the nobleman and they hated what he left. Notice men's in italics. We will not have this reign over us. I'm not going to have your grace reign over me. I'm not going to listen to your pastor. I'm not going to listen to your word. I'm going to read it. I ain't going to do nothing with it. No. I ain't going to have this reign over me. I have a free will. I can do what I want. That's what that's saying. This is every one of us and our sin nature from Adam. That's how we come into this world. We're citizens of this earth. And we come into this world, if the Lord hadn't worked in us yet, and we say, I won't have that man reign over us. I'll do something different. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's what Paul told us. That's what happened at the cross. Leading up to the cross, when Pilate asked them people, they cried out, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? Your nobleman? Is this who you want me to kill? And the chief priest answered. Chief priests, religious folks, better garments than this suit and tie I got on. They studied the Bible all the time. All they have is the Old Testament pointing us to Christ to come. The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. I don't have this man reign over us. We'll take our own. That's what Israel did too. They didn't have a king. And it's, we want to be like all the other nations. We want a king. And God's prophet said, no, you don't. Here's what's going to happen. The Lord said, let them have a king. If that's what they want, let them have. And Acts 2:36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the unregenerate hears of the Lordship of Christ. This ain't some beggar that's just done all he can do and hopes you help him. That ain't a God. By definite, Webster tell you that ain't a God. He's God Almighty. He's the Lord. He rules and reigns everything. When an unregenerate heart hears that, by His nobleness, His sovereignty to give His pounds, His word, His faith, His salvation, and make servants of whom He will, they can't stand it. Those Pharisees that crucified Christ, they were very religious, and they cried out, kill him. Kill him. Because they love themselves and their so-called free will. And they ain't such a thing. A man's will is bound by his nature. You take a beaver and put it in a home and turn a bathtub on, and it's going to go grab stuff inside that house and try to dam up that bathtub. That's its nature. We're born of Adam's corrupt seed. That's how we come into this world. And ain't nothing good about us. And we might on the outside look squeaky clean. bought them settlers, but on the inside we ain't nothing but dead men's bones. People say, I don't think that's so. It don't matter if you think it's so. It is. God said so. The response the nobleman had to these people that said, we ain't going to have this man reign over us. Look down in verse 27. But those mine enemies, which would not, that was their will. They wouldn't. They willingly did not want this man over them. Those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, but bring hither and slay them before me. That's the action of unbelief and the result of unbelief. And that final day, when that nobleman comes back, he said, I'm going to set the sheep on my right hand and the goats on my left. I'll say, depart from me. Slay him. That death that never stops. Eternal death. First response to the gospel. The fool says, no, God. No. We won't have this man reigned over us. And second, there's the reaction of God-given faith. Faith's a gift too, isn't it? That's what the nobleman gives us. 1 pound. We all have one faith. They all got 1 pound, didn't they? Same pound. We all receive the same faith. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one birth. That's what we have, isn't it? Paul told us, therefore, by grace are you saved through faith. By the grace of God, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Why have faith? If you have faith, God gave it to you. It ain't yours. It's His. It's faith of Christ. That faith of Christ has faith in Christ. It's the only place it has faith. That's the object of our faith. It says in verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that they might know how much every man had gained by trading. Not by selling, not by merchandising, not by crookery, by trading. He's going to take account. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Here's the nobleman's response, verse 17. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou hast authority over 10 cities. Over Matthew 25 it says, enter thou into the glory of thy Lord. That's something, isn't it? Be in his presence. Be with him. Here's the reaction of faith. Verse 18. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Here's the nobleman's response, exactly the same, isn't it? He said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. Matthew 25, enter into the glory of your Lord. Come into His presence. And my pastor always said, you don't take a parable and make it walk on 4 legs to mean what you want it to mean. Man takes this word and twists it any way he can to whip people and conjure up junk, doesn't it? This ain't teaching rewards in heaven. It absolutely is not. Well, now if you just work harder, you're going to have a bigger mansion. You're going to have more crowns in your, or more jewels in your crown. That's not what it's saying. Paul told us that in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, now there are diversities of gifts. We, each one of us in this room, have a different gifts the Lord's given us, hasn't it? But the same Spirit. There are differences in administrations, in the way that's governed and used and here in different assemblies and local assemblies. We see that. Your house is run different than my house is. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. How this plays out. Well, all the Lord's people are plumbers. That's nonsense, isn't it? We're different. Same Lord overall. In John 3, they tried to tempt John the Baptist with that. And they said, you know, Christ and His disciples, they're baptizing more people than you are. And He said, He must increase and I must decrease. They won't go trap Him up in that, was it? We are His workmanship. There at the middle of John 3, we come to that light. We come to Him that our deeds may be manifest. I come to Him, the nobleman, saying, thy pound. I'm going to manifest all my deeds, all my trade, and all my hard work. They're a rotten God. They brought them pounds to your pound. You did this, Lord. You left this to us, put it in our hand, and this is what we did. They said, thy pound hath gained. They acknowledged what they had. Every bit of it belonged to the Lord. The results of it belonged to the Lord. It's His. They were faithful to the Lord's purpose in preaching the gospel of Christ and Him crucified and serving His people. They did it with diligence. They did it joyfully. And they were obedient in doing so. He told them, occupy till I come, didn't He? It ain't complicated. You keep it. Tend to it. That's what I put in your hand to do. That's what he told us to do. He said in Mark 16, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be saved." No, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Those that believe are obedient. Abraham, he was obedient to the Lord. Why? He believed God. That's why he's obedient. Noah, he built an ark. The Lord didn't ask Noah, "Noah, if you would, pretty please build an ark." He said, "Go build an ark." And if Noah wouldn't have built that ark, he'd have drowned like just everybody else did, didn't he? But God gave faith and obedience. That faith's obedient to adhere to his word. The Lord uses people. He uses men and means and the gifts that Christ has given us. It's by the faith he gives his people that we believe God, that we believe his word that he's given us, and that we walk in the light he's given us. It pleased God to call out his people by the preaching of the gospel. Brother Mike read back in the study. By the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, the foolishness of preaching. That's how he's pleased to save his people and to call them out. That's the means he ordained to call his sheep to himself. And they will hear his voice. And they will follow him. Hands down. It's going to happen. Ain't a one of these. I only got a half a pound left. I did bad in the stock market. No. He blesses it. They're obedient. He blesses it. And we look for our nobleman's return. We labor in the faith he's given us and the means and the grace he's given us while we wait for his return. That's what Paul said to Titus. He said, "Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us." It's always a gospel. "That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." His people, his elect, his sheep, zealous of good works. I want to do righteousness. That's what was the whole time we were going through 1 John when I first got here. Believe Christ, love the brethren. I want to do everything I can to love you and serve you. And I want to serve him. Him in you. That's what I want to do. I'm zealous for that. I ain't good at it. I don't do it as I want to, as I ought to. But that's my desire. I'm zealous towards that. That's what I want. The first reaction of the gospel to the lordship of Christ, it blatantly objects to it. They cling to their free will and they say they will not. The second response is a faith. God given. Those made willing in the day of his power. His workmanship created unto good works. Obedient to the Lord. Those that are given life and faith and a new heart, they obey God just as Abraham did. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Because we believe it. We believe his word he's given us. And the third reaction. Third response to preaching the gospel is fatalism. It seems prevalent in this area. They call them hard shells where I'm from. Hyper-Calvinists and everything else. People that just say, "Well, God's sovereign." You sit back and... This is dangerous. We need to pay attention to it. God gave me this message to tell you, and so I know. This is dangerous. We don't just skim over this. We need to hear it. He gave it. Christ is the one that gave it. It says in verse 20, "And thou came, and another came, saying, Lord, behold, here's thy pound." That sounds good, don't it? "Which I have kept, laid up in a napkin." Why did he do that? Why did he keep it laid up in a napkin? "For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man." You're a hard man. You're sovereign, God. You don't need me. If you want to save a bunch of people, you can save them. If you want this pound to double, you to double it while sleeping. You're an austere man. "And thou takest up where thou layest not down, and thou reapest where thou didst not sow." Whew. Buddy. He said, "You're sovereign. I haven't touched this thing." And he hadn't, had he? It was covered in the napkin. He was in the presence of it, but he wasn't in possession of it. He didn't occupy it. He didn't touch it. It was covered in a napkin. And he said, "I've kept it. I've kept it." You know what a napkin is? We could call it handkerchiefs now, and words change over time. It's a sweat cloth. He wasn't wiping his face because of sweat trying to trade that thing and labor for it and keep it up and occupy it. Don't need that. You ain't breaking a sweat. I'll just take that nap. I'll just wrap it up in that. Yeah. That responsibility I have, that diligence that's put in me, that desire that's put in me to further the gospel, I'll just wrap that, those gifts up in that napkin and tuck it away. Brother Henry had some hard words on that. What this man's doing is he's taking God's sovereignty and he's blaming his no-count laziness and putting it on God. That's what he's doing. He's being a fatalist. And that's dangerous. Here's the response of it. Verse 22. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. The Lord will judge everybody when he returns on how you want to be judged. I tell you that. You want to stand on your merit, on your words, on your thoughts, on your heresies, or your diligence, or whatever it originates in you, I'll judge it out of your mouth. We say, Lord Christ, don't look at me. It's your pound. I wish it was 100. He'll judge us out of our mouth on that too, won't he? He'll give us that mouth. He'll give us the heart to profess that. They saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. What did he call them then? What's the ones that said, we won't have this man reign over us? Wicked. What about the ones that said, well, you're sovereign. If you wanted to do this, you could have. You don't need me. Wicked. That's what he says. Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. And now he said, here's what come out of your mouth. Thou knewest I was an austere man. That I take up where I laid not down, I reaped that I did not sow. That's what you said, wasn't it? Well, if you knew that, verse 23, wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? At least you could have done is put it in the bank, got a little bit of interest. You could have got 0.2% in the savings account. If that's what you believe, if you think I pick up where I don't lay down, I reap where I don't sow, that's what you'd have done. If you said it's man's works and man's will, you'd have put it in the bank, wouldn't you? And he said unto him that stood by, from him, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. And he said, I don't care, he's got 11 now. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath, it shall be given. And from him that hath not, he never did have it, he didn't touch it, wrapped up in a napkin, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Even his eyes, his ears. We have a tongue, don't we? Our tongue caught the Lord for mercy. That's going to be gone. That voice is going to be silenced. There'll be nothing but gnashing of teeth. That's what he's getting at. Faith and fatalism. I know, and most of you know, God is absolutely sovereign in all things. He's sovereign in creation. Every leaf that's on every tree, everywhere in the world, ever. It fell when he wanted it to fall. He's over the sparrows, the trees, every molecule that comes over this earth. He's sovereign in all things. He's sovereign in providence. Everything that comes to pass. If I'm sick, if I'm healthy, if I'm good, I'm bad, whatever it is. He's sovereign in it. And he's sovereign in salvation. If a man's going to be saved, God's going to do the work. He's going to be plumb saved and he's going to know about it. He's not going to be like a primitive Baptist. Say, well, if the Lord predestined somebody to salvation, he had some elect. They ain't never got to hear the gospel preached. They don't have to know who he is and they'll still be saved. That's a lie. That's fatalism is what that is. I know those things and you know those things. He's the one that reaps. He's the one that sows, isn't it? It's his ground. He owns it. He's the nobleman. He plows his ground. We got that parable of the seeds, don't we? Four types of ground. He plows the ground. He puts the paths where he wants. And he puts the fertile ground where he wants. And I go through and just throw seed. He waters it. He gives it life. He makes it grow. He does everything. He's the one that does that. We know that, don't we? Those primitive Baptists I grew up around, they said, well, God, just if they want to save somebody, he'd save them. They don't believe in missionaries. Ain't no sense in doing that. Don't get on the radio. If God wants to save somebody, it's just going to, a Bible's going to fall through the ceiling and land in their lap, I guess. God's sovereign in all things, but not just doctrine. And how we see the faith he gives us and the fatalism that we're so prone to is how we see this applied in our lives. I want you to bear with me on this just a second. We live in this world, don't we? We come here 3 times a week. We hear about Christ, but we walk out that door. And the bulk of our life's outside that door, isn't it? We live in this world. We're alive. So I want to show you what the difference is in these two. I'm going to start with myself, with the preaching. Preachers and teachers. I'm here to preach to you. I'm here to teach to you, right? Do I have faith or am I a fatalist? If I cannot study, we got conferences coming up, and I got this week, and I prepare messages. I knew I had to preach today. If I don't have the time to study, And it's just not possible. My phone's ringing, and that's what I'm here for. You call me if you got questions. God didn't send somebody else here for you to call. Send me. Lean on me. That's fine. If I don't have time to study, and I'm just unable, and I beg the Lord to give me a message, and I trust Him to give me a word for you, that's faith. I got to trust Him when I do have time to study. But if I got the time to prepare, and I've got the time to study, and I've got the time to pray for you, and to pray He gives me a message for you, for your hearts to comfort you, and I don't do it, and I say, well, the Lord's going to just bless it. No, He won't. That's fatalism. No, He won't. Reading of the Word. If I don't get up and read the Scriptures, if I don't put time into studying these Scriptures and thinking of what blesses me that I understand and I can give to you without comment, and I said, well, I'll just spin the wheel. The Lord will make it work. That's fatalism. I've got to do special music. I'm trying to get calluses back on my fingers before I got to go down to Florida. If I were to say, well, I remember some chords, I remember some songs, I'll just get up and sing, the Lord will bless it. It's fatalism, isn't it? Faith says, I'm going to be diligent, I'm going to get my calluses built up, and practice some songs, and then maybe the Lord will bless it. That's the difference. That's in preaching and teaching. In provision, you work in the ability the Lord's given you to provide for our families. He tells us to. Ain't nothing confusing about that. That's as plain as a nose on our face, how we're to do. And we say, God, keep my body. God, keep my job that you gave me. God, keep the family you gave me. You'll provide for us. I'm going to go out and I'm going to hit it like a lid, hard and fast. I'm going to give it all I got. I'm going to work unto you. That's faith. That's what faith is. Laying on the couch saying, well, if God wants me to have a job, somebody will call me. It's fatalism. That's dangerous. That's true. Brother Henry said that, and I wholeheartedly agree. Fatalism scares me just as much as Arminian does. Do you know that? Why? God said, you're a wicked servant. That's what He told the mother ones, wasn't it? In protection, those missionaries down in Papua New Guinea, Lance and Robin, that's a dangerous place. I think they still have cannibals there. That's rough, buddy. If they say, God's put it in my heart, He's given me this pound, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to preach to them people. And I got a word for them. I got good news for them. Lord will protect them. That's faith, isn't it? That's faith. I understand that. Lord, let me enter into that some, and I get it. Now, you say, I'm going to go backpacking through North Korea because God's sovereign. He'll take care of me. Maybe He won't. He may send you straight to prison. That's fatalism. That's foolish, isn't it? Physically. I thought of Lance and Robin, too. They're down there, and they don't have medical aid. They ain't got a hospital they can go to. And they get sick. It's the same praying and faith it takes whenever you do have a hospital. But if they're down there, they don't have the means of health care and stuff. And one of them gets sick, you pray to the Lord. That's faith. He'll honor that. But if you ain't got enough good sense, if He has given you the means that He uses for His people, and you ain't got enough good sense to go to the hospital or something, that's fatalism. Oh, God, take care of me. I've known people, they claim to be reformed and whatever that nonsense means. And they said, a man was dying of stomach cancer. And he wouldn't take a pill for pain, and he was miserable, and it was horrendous to watch. And he was scared to death if he took a pill to help him, and he's going to go to hell. That's self-righteous fatalism is what that is. That ain't faith. That's saying you can handle it. That's nonsense. God gave us that stuff. My good friend's sick. He's got pneumonia right now. His physician loves him. It's his son. You think you give him good advice? I love you, Daddy. I ain't gonna lie to you. Our great physician is more powerful, more knowing, caring, and able than anything else to me. And He's given us means on this earth to use. When the apostles, they traveled and preached. Luke was with them, wasn't he? They had a traveling physician with them. The Lord provides and He protects His people. We looked at in raising our children too. If I said, well, if God wants my children to grow up, be good children, be good citizens, He'll just make them that way. That's horrible, isn't it? He gave me His word and a preacher to teach me growing up. And I'll do the best I can, put the best food I can in them, raise them right, tell them what's right, put them underneath the sound of the gospel as long as they're underneath my roof. I can do all that. God still make them grow up and be horrible people. But He ain't going to do it without it, is He? He gave me the faith to do that. And I need to act on. That's what I want to be. I want to be the one that's used. I want to be that means. Lord uses means. And I want to be that means that's used for the furtherance of His gospel. To tell men and women who Christ is. Tell us what we are. To take some skin off the back, that's all right. Tell us who that balm of Gilead is. Our cure is. That's what I want to do. I've been given His word. God sent me a preacher to preach Christ to me. And He gave me spiritual eyes to see Him in this word. He gave me ears to hear the message that He gives. And I want my understanding in Him, and I want the faith that He's given to grow. I want it to mature. I want it to perfect. I want that pound to increase. I want to grow in grace and love for Christ and for His people. I want to serve them more. I want to be joyous when I serve, diligent when I serve. And I want to support the work of the gospel. I want the furtherance of His gospel to be my primary focus. To praise Him, to edify His sheep. He's already called out and caught those ones that haven't been called out yet. That's my desire. Like Zacchaeus. He gave half everything he had, didn't he? If I gave half my efforts in anything else I do in this world, providing for my family, or giving occupation, whatever we do, if I gave half that much effort into studying His Word, and prepared, and preaching to you, and praying for you, if I saw that too, I was watering the driveway. I'll tell you about that later, but it gets dusty, Saint Anna. I thought, if I prayed half as much for you all as I do for myself, boy, what would the Lord bless that? That'd be something, wouldn't it? That's what I want to do. Lord, bless it. He says, the Scriptures say, make your calling and election sure. It says in verse 26, Luke 19, verse 26. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given. Who's he going to give to? Well, those that already have it. Everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. Well, if I get this, that ain't work, preacher neither. We have a responsibility. If the Lord give me this stuff and I don't do nothing with it, does that mean I'll lose my salvation? No, you never had it in the first place. You took that sweat cloth and wrapped it up in a napkin. You was close to it. That hurts my heart. I have a deep fear for that. People hearing the gospel preached, having it right in front of them. Here's His word. Here's who Christ is. Christ isn't without His doctrine. Here's the small bites. We can eat that elephant. Here's how we do it. And they just say, boy, that's an austere man. I got to do something. I got to reap something. I got to sow something. No, buddy, you missed it. That ain't it. Those that have always have. Haven't they? And they'll be given more. That's what I hope. All right. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this parable that you've given. Let us heed it. Lord, give us sight to see our nobleman. Don't let us reject him. And don't let us take his sovereignty as our excuse. Lord, let us bow to him. Bow to his lordship. Serve him. Love his people. What a great nobleman we have, Lord. What a kingdom he's prepared for us with him. And we look for that day he returns. Lord, keep us till that day. Make us good and faithful servants. It's your pound. Give us diligence, Lord, to occupy that pound. Thank you for this. Be with our brethren everywhere. Be with Brother Tom as he heals. Give us doctor's wisdom. Lord, be with your people everywhere. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.